You're listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Follow our Mixcloud account now and never miss an episode. Check us out on Twitter at Between Stripes. Search us on Facebook and Instagram, Between the Stripes. And add us on Snapchat, BTS1924. For more, see our website, betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.
You're all very welcome to episode 10 of the Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. It's our milestone episode. We're absolutely delighted to be able to bring this show to you. And what a lineup we have for you tonight. I'm joined again by my co-host, John Breyer. John, what have we got for the folks tonight at home?
Well, if you've already tuned in on Facebook Live, you'll know we're kicking off with Alan Kelly.
Yeah, former League of Ireland referee, current MLS whistler. Absolute pleasure to speak to a referee. There's not too many that would be willing to come on and do an interview, so that's a really insightful interview, and we'll be playing that for you shortly. Who else have we got tonight, John?
Well, we've got probably the best dressed and one of the most promising managers in the league, and it's our own Neil Fenn.
Yeah, spoke to Neil Fenn earlier today, and club on a real high after the big win over Sligo. We'll be kicking the show off with that shortly. And then finally, we're going to speak to Keelan McAleer from Finn Harps. He's in absolutely excellent form this season, and we're going to speak to him about Harps' big cup win over Bohemians, their chances of staying up in the Premier Division, and much, much more. So here we go, folks. It's episode 10. I hope you're going to enjoy it. We're delighted to be able to bring this to you. And here we go. So here we are, folks. It's episode 10. We took a little break last week because we really wanted to plan this show out for you. It's a big milestone for ourselves. I think a lot of people thought we wouldn't make it this far, but here we are. And the shows just get better and better, and the guests get bigger and bigger. John, we took the week off last week. I didn't get to mention Yeovil Town losing 8-2 on the opening day to Luton.
Thanks, Kieran. That's a great way to start the 10th show. Yeah, 8-2, and I've had all the jokes, so you'd hate to be a Yeovil fan and all that kind of thing, but they've bounced back with a win at the weekend, so I'm delighted.
Yeah,
I should apologise in advance for losing my voice. That was due to the FAI Cup match.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You'll actually hear in my interview later with Alan Kelly, my voice goes at one stage, still coming down off an amazing high, and spoke to Neil Fenn about that earlier on. You'll hear that interview shortly, but what a match, John, what a win.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? And it was great to see Section O bouncing. And,
yeah.
Fantastic performance. I know, they're talking a lot about Sligo's performance, but don't let that overshadow an excellent performance from Longford Town. And in particular, a couple of new signings that looked excellent. Hopkins and Jack Brady getting a chance in goal was outstanding.
Yeah, we'll move on to the team selection shortly, but I was actually very disappointed on Soccer Republic with the coverage, the fact that they seemed to talk more about Sligo's shortcomings than Longford's performance. Let's make no doubts about it. In the first half, there's no way Longford Town should have been 2-1 behind. They absolutely played Sligo off the pitch. They mightn't have created a hat load of chances, but they were the far better team. Just typical Longford this season. Two lapses at the back, let Sligo in. You thought heads might drop then, but the team came out second half. They showed amazing character. Fantastic goal from Sam Verdon. And when Longford equalised, there was only ever going to be one winner in that game.
Absolutely. And it seemed like the longer the match went on, the more dominant Longford got.
Yeah, Sligo, the full-time team. And yet Longford Town, they looked like they could have played for another half an hour. They looked that fit on the night. It was absolutely amazing to see. But you speak there about Jack Brady. What a performance. I know I just said there that when Longford equalised, they never looked like losing the game. But there was one chance Sligo had. When Raf Cataro played in a Sligo striker, and he was one-on-one with Brady, and somehow the young goalkeeper managed to get fingertips to it and turn it onto the crossbar. And for me, that was the turning point in the late stages in the game. It was an amazing performance from the young man.
Yeah, super save, and I'd say Raf was dying for that to go in, because he got dogs abuse from the supporters, didn't he? But Brady, magnificent save, touched onto the bar, and Longford went on to win it.
Yeah, we've spoken very highly of Jack on the show this season, and I think people are starting to see why. It wasn't just that save, but there was a couple of kicking errors. He'll have to iron that out, because that's something we've been very critical of his opposition goalkeeper, Paul Skinner, this season. So that's something he's going to have to work on. I'm sure he will. But his overall game, coming and claiming balls inside the 6-yard box, his aerial presence for such a small goalkeeper was extremely impressive for me.
And for me, Kieran, first time I've seen Peter Hopkins, but he looks a serious player.
Oh, what a player.
Tell me about this lad, because my understanding was he couldn't get in the team at Sheriff.
Yeah, I was down at the game in Cove a couple of weeks ago, totally different game the other night, no atmosphere and a terrible performance from Longford. But I spoke to Neil after the game, and I just asked him, where he had found Hopkins from, because he came on for a couple of minutes in that game, and the first thing I certainly noticed about him was his pace. He's electric. But he just said Neil said that Peter Hopkins had been recommended to him. They brought him in for a bit of training. He wasn't getting in the team, as you said, a sheriff, so it suited him to come down and have a couple of training sessions with Longford. He played in a behind doors friendly match as well and impressed, so he was signed. And what a signing it looks to be.
Yeah, and he's keeping Don Cowan out of the team, you know, on the wing. And also, you know, he looks a great player. He looks quick. He looks, and he's a nice goal as well. He's got a great goal.
Oh, what a finish. Great to see Davey O'Sullivan back as well. He took the ball wonderfully and played it outside to Hopkins. It was a great bit of vision from David O'Sullivan. And I've said since Neil Fenn came in that when Davey does get back fit, this is the perfect system for him. A lot of people have wrote him off in recent seasons saying, you know, he'll never reach the levels of 2013, 2014 again. Maybe in goal scoring terms, he won't. You can't expect a player who's 2 years older and has suffered some injuries to be banging in 28, 30 goals a season. But he'll certainly score goals and get plenty of assists as well in this system. So I think we're going to see a really strong Longford team until the end of the season.
Yeah, hopefully.
But we're going to play your interview now. This is myself with Neil Fenn earlier on after Longford Town's fantastic 4-2 victory over Sligo Rovers at the City Colin Stadium on Saturday. So I'm joined now by Longford Town manager Neil Fenn after a fantastic weekend for the football club, a huge win over Sligo Rovers in the Cup. Neil, if you're anything like myself and John, you must still be buzzing after that result.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Even when I watch the video now, just really proud of the boys and the way they played through the whole 120 minutes. So absolutely delighted.
Yeah, 120 minutes. Obviously, replay is now a thing of the past in the first two rounds of the Cup. Were you surprised at how your lads' fitness levels held up against a full-time outfit?
Yeah, I was, to be fair. Obviously, David Sullivan making only his second or his first start or, you know, since I've been there. And he was, you know, we were kept asking him, you're going to be all right? He was like, yeah, I'm fine. I feel okay. Have I been trained all week? So he was a little bit sore during the week, so we were worried about him, but he held on. Sam Verdon was cramping up; he hasn't played, you know, that many matches this season. So it was brilliant. It was really good that they all managed to last the whole duration.
I think it's fair to say you surprised a few with a few selections in the team. Peter Hopkins came in making his first start, as you said. Davey O'Sullivan first game in a long time. Jack Brady playing only his second or third game this season. So you must be really impressed with how the lads that came in did.
Yeah, they were fantastic again. Peter was just, you know, he's been in training for us for a bit, for a week or so, and he's just got an electric pace. And he's direct, so we thought, you know, he's a good outball for us. If we're under a little bit of pressure, he can relieve that for us. And obviously he's got the quality as well that he showed with the goal. Jack Brady was fantastic, and David Sullivan was, you know, the first time we played up, we've had a proper striker, an out striker up front for us, and it made a massive difference.
Yeah, you mentioned Peter's pace. Alan Keogh as well is another player that played down in Cove, and he didn't play at the weekend. You've brought Kaleem Simon back. Is pace something you've looked to bring into the team?
Yeah, I think probably because I didn't have any as a player, I'm overcompensating a little bit. But no, it's something that obviously, you know, in certain areas, I think you do need pace. Obviously, the attacking areas are somewhere we've looked to. That's the kind of player we've looked to get in. Alan Keogh was another one who came in, did really well. And then obviously through his lack of games, he struggled with a tight hamstring. And, you know, when we're bringing in players who are on the fringes of other teams and they've not played 90 minutes, it takes a toll if they do play one. So, like you say, they've all done really well since they've come in, so we're delighted.
I don't like to pick out individual players because it was a total team performance, a brilliant performance from your side. But one player who's really stood out this season has been Daniel O'Reilly. He was with the club last season. He played predominantly at left back. Didn't seem to work out for him. He went away to England for a while. He's come back, but he's been absolutely fantastic this season. How is it to work with a player like that?
He's been absolutely brilliant for us. You know, when he got sent off against Shells and they scored two goals, and when he was missing, we missed him against Cove and they scored two. So it was really important that we got him back. And just his quality, he reads the game really well, and his athleticism. He's still got stuff to learn, you know, he's only young as well. But, you know, at the moment, he's doing really, really well for us.
Yeah, and that partnership between himself and Noel Haverty, it seems to be a real bedrock of your side at the moment.
Yeah, they've built up a good partnership. They both seem to read each other well. Both seem to know each other's game now, and we've both got quality. You know, good players can play with anybody really, but they've both shown that, you know, they've got good qualities on the ball, can read the game well. They're not really ever doing last ditch tackles. They're always seem to be in control of the defence. So it's really it's good for us to have that.
And you've been drawn against Bangor Celtic in the next round, an away tie for Longford. Do you know much about the opposition, and how will you look to plan for that one?
No, I don't know a lot about them, to be honest. I know a couple of lads who know people who play for them and stuff like that. So we'll do our homework on them. Hopefully, try and get out to watch one of their games before next week. It'll be a tricky game. It looks easy on paper, but it'll be a tricky game because you know those teams raise their game and stuff like that. Boys with something to prove. So it'd be a tough one on next Friday night, but we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, Longford, of course, have suffered some non-league defeats in recent years. My mind goes back to, I think it was 2012, Sherry Orchard knocked out Longford, and obviously the likes of Colester have knocked them out in the Leinster Senior Cup. We've seen last week in the Cup the likes of Colester and other non-league sides really up their game, so it's always a real potential banana skin for League of Ireland teams.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes you're going to their ground and the pitch might not be the best, or you know you're playing at a funny time Sunday morning or whatever, but you know I've played on this ground, the Ivy Grounds. It's a nice big pitch, so the pitch shouldn't be a problem for us. So it should just be mental then, how we prepare for it and how the boys get up for it.
Yeah, and of course there's a bar overlooking the pitch, so that should certainly keep the supporters happy. Saturday night,
some of the lads happy. Yeah.
Saturday night, we've seen a fantastic turnout and a great atmosphere around the ground. I'm sure you're going to be looking for more to come in the remaining three league games, and then obviously whatever cup games your lads can go ahead for.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, once the game got to the final 20 minutes, there was no kind of. I think the crowd still believed we were going to get back in it because we were the better team. So they spurred us on. They gave us the encouragement. We got the goal, and then through the whole of the extra time, the crowd were unbelievable. So you know we need more of that every week. And you know, starting this week against Athlone.
Yeah, it's the derby on Saturday. It's your first taste of El Clasico. What are you expecting from the game, Neil?
I'm expecting Athlone to be probably similar to us, to come out, you know, be similar. Just got a couple of our old ex-players with something to prove, maybe, so they'll be up for it. So, you know, Roddy will make sure they're all, you know, ready for the game and up for the game. So it'll be a tough one as well. We just need to make sure that we can produce another performance like Saturday's. And, you know, then the game will be interesting.
And will this be your first experience coming across Roddy Collins, Neil?
Yeah, I was an opposite manager. I know Roddy from different bits and pieces around football and stuff, but yeah, first time as a opposite manager.
Perhaps a battle, of the two most stylish managers in the league. Would you agree with that?
maybe. I haven't seen Roddy in a while, so I don't know. But yeah, maybe. We'll see what he's got to offer.
Finally, Neil, it's been a fantastic start to life at Longford Town for yourself. Your team is playing some fantastic football. There seems to be a real buzz around the club at the moment. Are you picking up on the atmosphere at the moment?
Yeah, there seems to be, you know, a little bit of a rejuvenation in the kind of enthusiasm for the team and for the club, which is brilliant. You know, not just saying it's me, I think that can happen to any manager when they go in, they kind of rejuvenates everything. So we're just trying to build on it every week, and if we do lose a game, it won't be through a lack of effort, or it won't be through a lack of, you know, not trying hard enough. It'll be through, you know, maybe we just weren't good enough on the day, but we'll keep pushing on, and as long as the crowd are behind us all the time, then it'll make sure that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I think that's the really important message to come out of this. We've seen on Saturday the impact a good atmosphere can have around the City Colin Stadium, so hopefully everyone will turn out again on Saturday for the derby.
Exactly, yeah, it makes a massive difference to us.
Neil, a pleasure as always. Thanks very much and keep up the good work.
Cheers, Karen, thank you.
Talk to you again, Neil. Good luck.
So that was the thoughts of Neil Fenn. And Kieran, we're going to move on now, and we're going to look at some of the other matches in the FAI Cup over the last weekend, and start with something a bit of a surprise. Shell's going to Waterford. Waterford making 7 changes for that match and paying the price, beating 3-0.
Yeah, strange from Waterford, considering they do seem to be almost cruising to the title at the moment in the First Division. You would imagine a lot of people would tip Waterford for a big cup run, but any listeners to the show will maybe remember on episode 9, our most recent show, I was slightly critical of Waterford this season. I said while they have been the best team in the First Division, they certainly haven't reached the standards of the Limerick team that cakewalked this division, and some of the performances haven't been, you know, they haven't been dazzling by any means, and I think their shortcomings were shown here against a Shelburne team that have really started to pick up some form in recent weeks. Of course, we've seen them in action, John, when they beat Longford Town 3-1 at the City Colin Stadium recently. So Owen Heary is doing a good job on a small budget there at the moment.
He is, and I think it was one of those nights where if it could go wrong, it did go wrong for Waterford. Kenny Brown, howler for me for the first goal. Shells went down to 10 and they still couldn't break it down. You know, that was only 1-0 at that stage, and you know, keeper in no man's land for the third goal. I think it's just one of those games that they'll want to forget, Waterford.
Yeah, most certainly, John.
Okay, moving on now. Go move to the big All Prem match and last year's Cup winners, Cork winning 1-0 at Bray.
Yeah, with everything going on at Bray at the moment, I was actually very impressed with their performance, John. I thought they put in a really good effort and they'd taken their chances on the night. Yeah. Could have been a totally different story.
A good penalty shout as well, first half.
Yeah, there was a few across the Cup this weekend, a few controversial decisions, but just not going Bray's way at the moment. And you have to feel for Harry Kenny. He has come out in an interview this week and said he's admitted that everything going on has affected him. But his players certainly didn't show any signs of that against Cork. And I think that's a credit to Harry and the way he's motivating the players at the moment.
I think they were a better team first half, Kieran.
Yeah, and Aaron Green was absolutely fantastic again.
Yeah.
So they've done very well to hold on to him. But you really would, just for Harry Kenny and the supporters too, of course, and the players, you'd love to see them just be able to turn it around now and really make a push for Europe. But just so much going on at the club at the moment, it's hard to see.
Yeah, sadly with his first goal there, and after missing a penalty as well.
Yeah, just typical Cork really, they're just grinding out the 1-0 wins. A lot of questions over how they'll replace Seanie Maguire, and I know a couple of guests we've had on the show, the man they have pinpointed has been Sadlier. So he certainly showed his credentials to do that at the weekend. And it'll be an interesting couple of weeks. Cork could wrap the title up very soon. A couple of live games coming up on television, so it's a big few weeks ahead for Cork City.
It's a case of when now, isn't it, really, for the title?
Yeah, definitely, John.
Okay, moving on. Last year's beaten finalist, Dundalk, a big win against Derry and a match they dominated.
Yeah, couldn't make the game in Oriel on Sunday, but from speaking to people that were there, they described it as Dundalk's best performance, not only this season, but since some of their European games last year. So that's a real statement of intent from Dundalk. They've started to really show that play of last season. Stephen Kenny signed a new 2-year contract during the week. I think that might have something to do with it. There seems to be a lift again around the camp. They've lost, obviously, Kieran Kilduff, but McMillan is still there, and it just looks to be the right time for Dundalk now to really push on, and this could be the cup they win. Obviously, they're still in the League Cup as well, so despite their shortcomings in the league this season and their disappointments in Europe, if they could win two cups, it's another fantastic season from Stephen Kenny.
Yeah, new signing at the beginning of the season, Duffy, really impressed me that match.
Yeah, he's been a disappointment this season without any doubt, John, especially considering they paid a transfer fee to Celtic for him, and there definitely hasn't been a return on value for that transfer fee, but a dazzling performance from him at Oriel Park the other night.
Yeah, and John Mountney as well played well, I thought.
Yeah,
very early goal, 40 seconds it took him to score.
He's taken a bit of stick this season at times, Mountney, and there was a lot of talk that he might leave the club, but I was very impressed with him in the first leg against Rosenborg, maybe not so much in the second leg. But if he can put in more performances like that in the cup, it could just be you often see it where players, a certain competition just seems to suit them, and that could be the case with John Mountney.
Yeah, so we're all on for a replay of the Cork against Dundalk final this
year. No, Longtown will be in the final.
Well, look, moving on, we'll talk about a couple more Premier League sides. Limerick with a good win at Cove Ramblers. A very simple win, actually.
Very simple, Paul Hunt beaten on a number of occasions the other night. Disappointing for Cove after their win over Longford the week before. They would have been expecting to push on and go on maybe some sort of cup run. Limerick certainly didn't carry that form into their league game last night. They were beaten comfortably 2-0 by Shamrock Rovers. And looking at social media today, it's a real mess down there at the moment. We had obviously Michael Hearn on a couple of weeks ago speaking to us, and he didn't paint a very pretty picture. And Limerick are in real relegation trouble at the moment, no doubt, but good to see them get the cup win, but their priorities lie elsewhere for me, John.
Yeah, that league match, Tozzi dropped for that one, so
His goals have dried up lately, but I would point to the service, the lack of service, and we've seen Paul O'Connor leave the club, shown the door basically, despite some good service at the club in recent years. So Neil McDonald, he's gone out, they're his calls, the players he brought in, they're not performing. So it's a big couple of weeks for him as a manager.
He's coming under real pressure on social media, certainly, I've seen.
Does it remind you maybe of the Longford Town situation, Tony Cousins? I know Neil McDonald's only come into the job, but there hasn't been good vibes ever since he took over there. Is it too late now, if they did want to make a change in terms of manager, is it too late to do so?
I think so, but they're starting to slip towards that relegation zone, Kurt. It's not out of the question that they could go down.
No, most definitely. Even if you look up the table, Bray Wanderers in fifth, as ridiculous as that may sound, they're not nobody is really mathematically safe just yet, but it's not totally unforeseeable that Bray could be dragged into this yet.
Yeah.
As I said, their cup performance was excellent at the weekend despite defeat, so maybe they're going to get a little bounce off that, but it could go the other way too. The total disappointment of going out of the cup and with everything going on, it could just drag them down into it. So don't just look at the bottom three there at the moment and think, right, that's the bottom three. The teams above it are far from safe yet, John.
Yeah, they've brought in a Hungarian striker of Limerick. I know very little about him, but you just wonder if that's the kind of signing they really need at this stage.
Well, Tosi had a fantastic start to the season, and so maybe they're hoping that this Hungarian striker can have some type of bounce and just bring a lift to the dressing room, because they certainly need some type of boost down in Limerick at the moment.
Exactly. So we move on to another Prem side. So Rovers against the neighbours Glenville, and it was a narrow 1-0, but the most dominant 1-0 you're ever likely to see, apparently.
Yeah, but you seem to hear this a lot from Stephen Bradley this season, and you can see why Rovers fans are starting to get frustrated. No offence to Glenville, Shamrock Rovers should be well able to put more than a goal past them. The big talking point to come out of that game was when Graham Burke, just following the game on social media, it appeared he had to be taken to the sideline and calmed down by his manager and his assistant manager, but there's claims in the newspaper this week that there was maybe something more to that. We won't go any further into that, but you know, apart from that, it was a dull affair, and Rovers will be disappointed, as dominant as they were, that they couldn't convert more chances.
Yeah, well, we've seen Burke sent off a couple of times this season, haven't we, already? Mm. So we know he's a bit of a short fuse, all right. But yeah, you'd have expected a bit more dominant win. But look, they're in the hat for the next round.
Yeah, and Rovers, it must be nearly 30 years since they won the Cup now, so they'll be desperate to overturn that. But I suppose a 2-0 win last night, it might give them a bit of a boost, but they just need to pick it up another level. You know, the players they brought in at the start of the year, there was so much expected of Shamrock Rovers, and they're not delivering at the moment. So the pressure will be on Stephen Bradley to try and get some type of silverware this season. But of course, they have the League Cup final to look forward to as well.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the next match we're going to have a look at is Harps against Bowes.
What a game, John. What a game, and our man again, Eddie Desan.
Well, it was a ding-dong match, that wasn't it? It seemed an absolute crack of goals going at either end, dubious penalties from probably dives, and, you know, absolute cracker. Yeah, really enjoyed watching the highlights of that one, and like you say, again, an Eddie Desan free kick to win it.
An absolute cracker. Yeah. Something you'd expect Paddy McCourt to do, not Eddie Desan, with all respect to Eddie, but...
Ever since I slated him on the podcast, that's been it. He's turned into Messi.
Well, don't slate any opposition players coming over the next few weeks, John, because they've certainly picked up their form. But we spoke to Keelan McAleer earlier in the day, and this is the interview we recorded with him. So enjoy. So I'm joined on this week's show by Finn Harps winger. It's Keelan McAleer. Keelan, you're very welcome to the show.
All right, how's it going?
So an absolutely enthralling cup tie at the weekend for yourselves against Bohemians, 4-3 after extra time. Must have been an amazing game to be involved in.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I actually started on the bench with it. We went 2-1 up, brought it back to 3-2, and then myself won a penalty just before the game finished, and we, happy enough, converted the penalty 3-3, and then extra time, and Eddie Desan stepped up and stuck it in the top corner to win.
Oh,
it was brilliant, so it was a great win.
Eddie Desan, a man, of course, we're well familiar with here in Longford, having played for the town last season. He seems to be a man who's just caught fire all of a sudden. Is that something you thought might happen judging him in training, or has his form has been a complete surprise to everyone?
No. As I said, at the start of the season, he had a sore back. He wasn't playing, and he was coming back, and he wasn't fit. And in training, some of the things he did was different class. So I knew he had it, and then obviously just anything he seems to hit is just going into the back of the net, and as a striker, that's what you want, and as a team, you need your strikers scoring, and he's doing really well at the minute, so hopefully it continues.
Much like yourself, of course, he's a player that has, I suppose, experience from a different league. He's played with Fleetwood in England. You've had a spell in Scotland. Do you think that's stood to you this season in the League of Ireland?
Well, I don't really know, to be honest. They're obviously different leagues and stuff like that. The League of Ireland's a lot different, and over in Scotland it was kind of stop start anyway. So, but obviously I came back. The season's kind of our seasons over there were like through the winter. Well fit anyway. So I think that kind of put me in the stead. Like it was good to come back, and then I was good in it. I'd already started my pre-season halfway through it, and then the League of Ireland just started, so it was good that way.
So obviously we've discussed the recent cup game there, Keelan, but it's a big season in the league for Finn Harps this year, and you're so close to achieving your goal of safety. Do you think maybe another 4 wins out of the remaining 9 games might see you home?
As I say, it probably just depends who we beat as well. But the main priority for us is the league and staying up. But I know there's going to be a lot of twists and turns that are going to happen anyway now till the end of the season. But hopefully we fight through and stay up.
Yeah, and obviously you're suspended for the next two games. You've picked up 12 yellow cards this season. Is that something that's worrying you, perhaps?
I don't know how I've managed that, to be honest. Say I play a winger and not really made many tackles, but I just kind of took them for the team, and then some of them have just been kind of stupidity, if I'm honest. But I'm missing two games, so two big games, but these things happen.
Your form has been extremely impressive this season, I must say, for a player that's coming into the league new. But maybe are you looking to add more goals now when you do return to action?
Well, to be honest, the chances I have maybe created or missed, I should be up near 10, I think, personally. But as I say, I've just maybe not got the luck of the green a couple of
times. Keelan, thanks for joining us, and best of luck with the rest of the season with Finn Harps.
Right, no worries, done, man.
Well, that was the thoughts of Keelan McAleer after a good win against Bohemians there. So moving on, we've got a couple more teams to cover in the Premier League. So we're going to one where there could have been a surprise on the cards, but instead there was a serious golfing class as Drogheda beat Evergreen 4-0.
Yeah, this was the game we certainly picked out, John, as a potential Premier team being turned over, but it didn't turn out that way in the end. A very comfortable win for the Drogs, and some shambolic defending in all truth from Evergreen. Two goals from Chris Mulhall. We mentioned him on the show recently, has been a good signing. We didn't think that he was enough quality of a signing to keep Drogs up on their own, that maybe he'd be a quality player for the first division next year, if that's where Drogheda most likely at the moment looks, that's where they're going to end up. So good to see him getting on the score sheet. Ryan Matheson as well with his first goal for the club. So for a team that couldn't buy a win for a long time, it's got to be slightly morale boosting. But then again, you have to remember the calibre of the opposition. Evergreen, hugely respected junior club, but coming up against the League of Ireland opposition, they just fell way, way short, and an easy win for Drogheda in the end.
Yeah, and we're talking about Chris Mulhall there. If Drogheda were to go down, which he's looking like at the moment, I can see him staying in the Premier League elsewhere. He looks decent.
Yeah, he looks to be quite a quality player, and Limerick fans speak very highly of him.
Yeah, so another match between Premier and non-league match was one that was much, much closer. Kilister against Galway.
Another cracking cup tie. Went all the way to penalties, this one.
It did, and late goals and all sorts. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely ding-dong match. It was 1-0 after 77 minutes and finished 3-3.
Yeah, we highlighted Kilister when this draw was made. We mentioned the fact that they had actually knocked Longford Town out of the Leinster Senior Cup during Tony Cousins' reign. Obviously, they had to pick up their game big time for this one. Longford Town would have been a first division club when that happened, and as we said on that show, huge gulf in difference between the Leinster Senior Cup and the FAI Cup. So hugely impressive performance from Kilister. They can be proud of their efforts, but just fell short in the penalty shootout. John, I'd love to get your thoughts on the change we've seen to the FAI Cup. Obviously, it went in Longford's favour. No replay. It went to extra time. Same in this game.
Well, I think Kilister will be kicking themselves, because you know, if it had been the old rules and we'd gone to a replay, then you know it'd have been a great tie for them and the chance to play out in Galway, and you know, it'd been a good money spinner for a junior club. So, but
you'd have to ask at the same time too. Realistically, would it be that big of a money spinner? They only get 40% of the game. Obviously, 40% is better than nothing, but you wouldn't imagine a huge crowd would turn out in Galway for a midweek game against a non-league side that they'd be expected to beat. And obviously you see it in all sports, not just football, but GAA and the sorts, where the underdog goes so close in the first game, and then there's a replay, and most of the time they get absolutely steamrolled in the second game. So it's taken away that element of things. It's decided on the night, and as we've seen in City Calling, the atmosphere was absolutely electric during extra time.
Yeah, I think obviously Galway would have won any kind of replay quite easily, and you're right, most of these, they get one chance really, not league team to, and that was their chance. They were ahead for a long, long time in that match, Kilister, and a couple of Ronan Murray goals pegged them back. But
one stunning goal from almost the halfway line.
Yeah, but look, take nothing away from them. And yeah, you were asking about replays and things. It would have been a chance for those players to
go and test themselves,
and put themselves in a shot window as well. You know, there might be a Peter Hopkins there that's been playing at a junior level and just not being picked up. It's a chance for them to impress against Premier League opposition. So I think the early rounds are not. Yeah, I think there should be replays, Kieran.
I'm going to disagree with John. I think it works excellently in the likes of the FA Cup in England, where you're going to get the big crowds, and it is a genuine money spinner. And obviously you have the TV money in England as well. There's no such thing here, unfortunately. And we've seen in recent years, especially with teams that are competing in Europe, the likes of Dundalk, Cork City, the huge fixture congestion something as simple as a replay can cause, and it can go months down the line then a league game is moved, it can be months down the line before that league game is played again, and we've had a Harps fan on the show discussing the huge chunk of money they lost because of a game being moved because of a European reshuffle. I know that's a different argument, but it kind of falls into the same category. So for me, decide it on the night, and that's it.
Perfect. Look, moving on, final Premier League team, St. Pat's, comfortable enough win, 2-0 at Portmarnock.
Yeah, I was actually quite impressed with Portmarnock's performance, just from the brief highlights we've seen. They seemed to be quite solid. Our old friend Conor Powell didn't seem to be caught out of position too many times. So, a good day out for everyone involved with Portmarnock. They gave a good go and a good showing against a Premier team in form at the moment.
In serious form.
And,
with the likes of Christy Fagan up against them. Yeah, I think they did quite well.
They're not a team you'd want to draw, John.
No, I don't think any team would have wanted them in the next round, because they're a form team at the moment, and they're performing well. It could be an outside bet, maybe.
Yeah, we've seen them in recent years after breaking their hoodoo of so many decades, but. Yeah, certainly a good chance that Pats can come out of this relegation scrap they're in. They certainly look to be doing that, and they can end it with a cup victory.
Now, speaking of upsets, I love to see a non-league team do well and knock a league club out. So poor old Wexford going down 2-1 against Crumlin.
Oh, it's got to be hugely disappointing for Damien Locke. We've spoke about him highly on this show. Despite where Wexford are, they're bottom of the first division. There just seems to be a small little upturn recently there. New young players coming in. Aaron Dobbs missed a penalty in this game. He's a player that we've highlighted has been a great signing for Wexford, and he is a great signing, but just didn't work out for him on the night. They actually missed two penalties on the night. Two penalties were saved, I should say, by the Crumlin goalkeeper, Michael Quinn. But again, Crumlin, the potential banana skin, and their team that could... I know they're playing Dundalk in the next round.
Well, I was just going to say, we'll come on to the draw next, a bit later in the show, but... You know, you wins like that puts you in the hat. What a draw they've got next round.
Yeah, if they were looking for a big high-profile tie, that's certainly what they've got. And I certainly, while you'd expect Dundalk to win, I certainly think Crumlin can make it difficult for the champions.
Mm. Another non-league club through, Cove Wanderers beating Killarney Celtic there, 2-1.
Yeah, I think that went the way most people would expect it. Lots of ex-League of Ireland experience in the Cove Wanderers team. You'd have Conor Mead and John Mead there. And their goalkeeper, Michael Devine, he played in the 2007 Cup Final against Longford Town, so that'll tell you how long he's been around. Great experience to have in the nets. And we do see with Cove teams, when they can get ahead of steam going on a run in competitions like this, let it be the FAI Cup or the Junior Cup, the people of Cove will get behind them. So let's just see where this takes Cove Wanderers, really.
Yeah, the good result for them, and All first division tie, Cavan Taylor, comfortable 3-1 win against UCD.
Yeah, UCD having a fantastic season in the first division. Cabo performing above expectations also, but nothing on the level of UCD this season. So Cabo had the home advantage there. You wouldn't call it a shock of such, but the fact that it was a 3-1 victory and not maybe a 1-0 or something a little bit tighter, very impressive from Cavan Taylor. And again, it's been a great season for them, so you'd love to see them go on a cup run.
Yeah, and like I say, we'll come on to the draw later. They've got quite a favourable one next round. But continuing on, first division winners, comfortable win for Athlone Town, potential banana skinner, but against probably the lowest league team that was left in the competition.
Yeah, the winners of the Munster Senior League Division 2 last season.
Yeah.
This is one we had a Ballincollig player on, and he spoke very highly of the club and everything. And we thought maybe, they could put it up to Athlone. We certainly didn't see a 5-0 coming. Considering how poor Athlone have been this season and everything going on in the club. Read an interview during the week with Roddy Collins where he complimented Ballincollig on the welcome and the warm reception that they gave Athlone Town, and that the pitch was excellent, that maybe when you go to these non-league teams you expect maybe a little bit of a mucky pitch or whatever. Maybe they were too nice.
That's no good. You need some, like, what's his name, Mad Dog Martin Allen, no hot showers or anything like that. All the tricks in the books, make them as unwelcome as possible, and that's what they should have done.
Yeah, he did mention that you can go down to these non-league teams and there's a maybe hard men in the midfield looking to make a name for themselves by sticking a few studs in a League of Ireland player. We're not condoning that, or we're not encouraging that, but maybe, let them know you're there and hit them hard early on. And Ballincollig, they had their day out. I'm sure it was a great day for everyone involved with the club, but their cup run is over and Athlone advanced to the next round.
Yeah, The remaining two ties were all non-league affairs. So Bluebell, Sheriff. Now, for me, that was a bit of a surprise. I would say Sheriff was a decent team.
Sheriff, one of the most top-respected junior teams in the country, but they've recently lost John Lester, as we mentioned on the show a few times, and he was a huge part of how they play. And Bluebell, talk about high-profile players. Keith Fahey recently arriving there. So again, Bluebell, if you were going to pick out any non-league team that you wouldn't like to draw, I think Bluebell would be the one.
Yeah, and the final match was again on non-league, Bangor against Everton, and again, yeah, I know you put me right the other week because I was saying about the Welsh against the Scousers, but you're actually from north of the border of Bangor.
Oh, so we're going to have to organise a bus for north of the border
exactly,
instead of Dublin, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a bit like the Ulster Tenter Cup.
Brilliant, John. I better rearrange them travel arrangements though for that cup game, but. Do you think Bangor, will they be a difficult opposition for Longford Town?
The crumbling side, so you'd expect them to be decent, all right, because of beating Everton there, and probably expected them to do that, but you'd expect Longford to beat them, surely.
Yeah, we've seen Longford slip up in the past against non-league teams, but Neil Fenn talked about in that interview we played earlier on about getting the players right mentally, and that's what you want to hear ahead of a game like this, because technically Longford Town should be the better team, especially considering the style of football they play under Neil Fenn. It was slightly different maybe when you had a manager there that was just looking to play a long ball and 50-50 balls, and when you play like that you're always taking a chance that you could be out-muscled maybe against a non-league team. But when you're looking to get the ball down, and what we hear is a good pitch up in Bangor as well. So it should suit Longford, and if they prepare right and maybe get a big win over Athlone at the weekend, go in on a high, still buzzing off that Sligo win, of course, then hopefully it'll be quite comfortable for Longford.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Sligo wins to start big things for Longford. I think it could just be the kind of thing that'll propel them on this.
Yeah, just as I spoke about with Neil in the interview, there just seems to be a real feel-good factor around the club at the moment. Everyone's pulling together on and off the pitch, and nothing better than a cup run to get the entire county of Longford behind the club.
Exactly.
So as everyone knows, we were planning some big names for this week's 10th episode. We're delighted to have gotten this far, and we've got a blockbuster name now for you. It's former League of Ireland referee and current MLS whistler, Alan Kelly. Alan, thanks very much for taking the call and welcome to the show.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So Alan, where are we talking to you from in the world today?
Cork, if you can believe that. We're just back for a holiday. For a couple of weeks, so I know it's mid-season for us, but after the League of Ireland, but it's good to be back.
And obviously in the MLS now, refereeing an incredible achievement. Do you want to tell us maybe a little bit how that move came about?
Yeah, it was kind of a chance scenario, and the opportunity to go across and do some coaching and refereeing came up, and it just kind of manifested itself from there. So I was at a point in my career a couple of years ago where I was just looking for, you know, something different, a different challenge type of thing. And that propped up, and thought long and hard about it. And, you know, 4 years on, don't have any regrets. You know, I still miss the league here and stuff, but it was a big move for us. And looking back at that one, that I'm really happy we made.
And of course, recently, Alan, we've seen a lot of Irish players go over to America, perhaps maybe not on an MLS level, but certainly NASL and college scholarships. You were probably the first Irish referee to make such a move. Do you think that's something we might see more coaches and more referees and just more people within Irish football making the move? It's obviously a great lifestyle over there.
I think that's a possibility. I think, you know, from a football point of view, or soccer, as it's affectionately known in the US, the game is moving leaps and bounds over the last number of years, and it will continue to do so. I'm familiar with the guys that are across. I've met with Richie Ryan and Colin Falvey over the last couple of years on their journeys with Ottawa and Miami and Indianapolis. I haven't come across Eamon Zaid over the last couple of years, but I know he's there and follow his progress as well. And just last weekend, I had my own game where Kevin Doyle was playing in Dallas with Colorado. So it was it's good to see some familiar faces there. You know, like from a coaching point of view, there's Irish coaches there as well that I'm familiar with, and I know Kieran Kilduff has just left Dundalk to Jacksonville, I believe. So. Yeah. So yeah, there's a bit of an Irish contingent there, seems to be getting better. But the game itself in the US is growing exponentially, and the opportunities there for people to go across are becoming more frequent and familiar. I read recently that Trevor Malloy's son, I think it's Aaron, is doing really well. I think he's in college there and is doing really well there. So the opportunities there are, they've always been there, but as the game has progressed, the opportunities have become more frequent. So long may that continue, I suppose.
Obviously, Alan, everyone would know you as one of the most experienced Irish referees, but you're talking about your coaching background there. I think that's something a lot of League of Ireland fans mightn't be aware of. Do you want to give us a little bit more information on that, perhaps?
Well, it's referee coaching as opposed to player coaching.
Okay.
You know, the opportunity to do some educational work there with younger referees was the initial draw. And I don't know anything about playing. You know, as players will have said, don't shoot the ears. No, I'm kidding. The referee coaching and the player coaching are something that are very, very different. But the opportunities for both are very much there.
So let's go back to the very beginning, Alan. How did it all come about? Referee, and it's not the most attractive job, I suppose. For those that are in it, they absolutely love it. But for those that watch the decisions you guys have to make, it just seems like a crazy profession to want to get involved in. How did you come to get involved?
I suppose it's family background, really. My dad was, I grew up, you know, my dad being a League of Ireland and an international referee, and my grandfather before him. So it was in the family. It's well documented in terms of the family background there. And I never really thought I was going to get into it as early as I did. Playing was my first love and passion, and so on. And I got injured while playing at one point. So I had done a referee's course. I don't know why, actually, when I'm looking back at it. I think it came up, and I knew somebody was doing it. So I said, hey, you know what, I'll do the course, and so on. And then I was injured, so I said, I refereed some schoolboy stuff while I was injured. Went back and played for a little bit, and I had been picked by the bug, and went back and refereed at the time. You couldn't play and referee back then, which was a shame. So you had to kind of pick one over the other. So that was the choice I made. Refereed locally through the local leagues here at Cork. Went to the School of Excellence, the FAI's School of Excellence, which was a fantastic initiative back in, I think, 1998. And from there, progressed onto the League of Ireland panel and onto the international referees list. And that's pretty much it. That's the journey in a nutshell.
Yeah, and your playing career, Alan, you started out with Avondale before making the grade at Cork City. Was it difficult to referee Cork City matches then as you progressed? Did you feel under more pressure in those games?
You're making it out now like I was a better player than I was. I played all my schoolboy stuff with Avondale, and I played with Ringman Rangers and Tramore Athletic in the Munster Senior League, and I played the season with Cork City's reserves, and we got relegated that year, so we weren't obviously very good. When it comes back to refereeing Cork City games, I didn't do a whole lot of them, but it was never any different than doing a Shamrock Rovers game or a Bohemians game or a Shells game or Pats or any League of Ireland teams. It was just another game, really. And I know the fact that you're from Cork and refereeing Cork, does it make a difference? I can honestly say it doesn't. You know, the same way as Dublin referees referee. Dublin teams, doesn't make any difference to anybody, they just go and referee the games. I'm quite sure I'll have plenty of people out there, supporters of the league, that will differ on that, on my opinion on that, but that's the way it is from a refereeing point of view. You're just so focused on the game that any sort of, there was no loyalty or anything like that to anything in relation to Cork City. The game is just a game, that's plain and simply it.
Does perhaps the small, pool of referees in this country make it more difficult for the FAI to perhaps spread out the referees, like you said, Dublin referees refereeing in Dublin, Cork referees refereeing in Cork?
Yeah, that's a good point. The geographical spread of referees throughout the league is it is growing. The bigger counties, the Dublins, the Corks, the Waterfords, was always a strong refereeing background in Waterford down through the years, but it's grown. The geographical spread has kind of grown a little bit. There's guys kind of further north, guys in the Midlands, down the northeast, the southeast. But with the majority of clubs based in Dublin and a large pool of the referee group coming from Dublin, and it's difficult to avoid putting Dublin referees with Dublin teams. But look, as I said, having gone through the same process, it really, you know, it's the, I suppose, it, the bigger thing is made from supporters who might feel aggrieved one way or the other, but that's just the unfortunate nature of it.
Speaking of supporters, it's very rare you could describe a referee as being a popular individual, but when we put the tweet out asking who League of Ireland fans would love to hear from on episode 10 here, your name was probably the first name that came up, so that's probably a credit to yourself, and also you're obviously voted 5 times the PFEI Referee of the Year. That must have been a great honour to be voted that on so many occasions.
Well, going back to when I moved, just before I moved to the US, I got a lot of calls, texts, tweets. You know, I'm not a big social media person, but I do have a presence there. And it was great to. I got a lot of, you know, positive comments, a lot of support, and a lot of positive feedback, and some nice things said, which I wasn't very used to. because you know, League of Ireland football is a very unforgiving place. As a referee, and you know, you pretty much hear everything that that's said in your direction at games. But it was very nice to get that feedback at the time, and you know, the same goes for your listeners, I suppose, when they suggested you guys get in touch with myself, and it's nice to get that. You know, like, from a League of Ireland point of view, it's a very it's a small community. I grew up with League of Ireland football. I'm a League of Ireland supporter for as long as I can remember, and to this day continue to be a League of Ireland supporter. I have a big belief in the league. So it's nice to hear some positive stuff in an environment where we hear lots of negative stuff. You know, so it's nice. I appreciate that.
Yeah, very well said, Alan. How do you find following the league from America? Is it an easy thing to do, or do you still find that maybe it's lacking behind in coverage?
No, every week. So my weekly routine is, you know, if I have a game on a Saturday, I'm traveling on a Friday, and back on a Sunday type of thing. So generally, when I'm traveling on a Friday, I'll always tune in to updates while I'm traveling. So you know, there's no affiliation to any team. I'm looking at results across the league, and so on and so forth. Dundalk's run last year in Europe was well. Well covered from a TV point of view. I was able to see those games. Not only me, but my kids sat down and watched those games. You know, even the FAI Cup final last year, which we couldn't. You know, like, FAI Cup final day for me has always been a big day in the Irish football calendar. Mm. And it's only since I've moved away have I missed Cup final day. I happened to come back for two of the four I've been away from. But even that, you know, myself and my kids sat down last year and watched Cork and Dundalk. So we get to see quite a lot of it. Soccer Republic show on Monday night. You know, I'll always watch on a Tuesday. You know, even though I'm living in a different country, I follow the league weekly. You know, and I'm still in touch with some of the referee colleagues that I and friends that I have. That I had while I was here, you know. So, and my brother is refereeing in the league, so it's tough to step away from. But as I said, I've always been a fan and a supporter of the league, and that continues to this day.
Speaking of cup finals, this is obviously a podcast based in Longford, so we'll always be looking to bring up any mention at all of cup success. 2003, you were the man in the middle for the cup final. What was that like as an occasion?
It was great. You know, look, I'll always remember the 2003 Cup final for the goal that should never have been awarded. You know, Shane Barrett's goal at the end, which when we look back, that was obviously offside.
No, a fantastic decision, in my opinion.
The experience of it, you know, again, look, as I said, I've been going to Cup finals since I think about 84. I think it was my first cup final, and my dad had been involved as a fourth official in the 86 cup final. So every year we had gone to the cup final, whether there was a family involvement or not. So to be appointed to the 2003 cup final was a huge honour for me. You know, to referee at Lansdowne Road, to referee, you know, the cup final between plan for the Pats. And it was. So, look, at the time, you know, it's easy to look back at it now and say that we just refereed the game and not the occasion. And that pretty much was the way it was. But it was a fantastic experience from a career point of view. You know, the game itself whizzed by, you know. I know people said that in the build-up to it, that enjoy it because, you know, you may not ever get a second one and it'll be over before you know it, type of thing. And that's exactly how it turned out. I wish it had finished 30 seconds earlier. That's the only regret I have about it. But other than that, it was a really, really positive experience. And, you know, that's no consolation to Pats fans.
No, we certainly don't regret the extra 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know from a Longford point of view, that won't be forgotten.
Were you asking yourself at the time, why didn't Levine shoot as well?
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, when the thing happened really quickly, you know, it's such an unusual circumstance for a goalkeeper to, well, you know, back then for a goalkeeper to go up in the other end of the field of play. And it was, what was the goalkeeper's name? Chris, was it Chris Adamson? I could be wrong with the goalkeeper's name for Pats. But he had gone up before that and my assistant had let me know that, you know, and I think I just, at the time, I when he came up the second time, I just assumed that the assistant had seen it, and it didn't. And look, one thing led to another. The ball ended up in the net. I'm piecing it back as Eric Levine has the ball, and I'm thinking, just put the ball in the net, you know. But he didn't. Anyway, look, I try to forget about that all the time, but every time RTE run their cup games, that goal is always in the highlight reel. So it's tough to forget it, you know.
I suppose that links into my next question, Alan. VAR is a hot subject at the moment, and is something that the MLS is currently using. How have you had any major experiences with it yet?
Yes, we've been involved in this for about 18 months now. We've had we started this off with a blank page, really, and started working towards it. We've been heavily involved in the trial aspect of it, it was rolled out 2 weekends ago for the first time in MLS. So I've had 2 games now. And it's still a work in progress, and we're still getting used to it. I know the Confederations Cup probably created more questions than answers with it. But look, it's the single biggest change to football in its history, in my opinion. And there's going to be some growing pains with it. I think the expectation from the spectators' point of view and the fans' point of view is that it's the fix to all of football's problems, and that's not the case, you know. I was a little bit disappointed before the Confederations Cup that FIFA or maybe IFAB didn't do some sort of media briefing in terms of what it's there for, what it's allowed to do, what it's not allowed to do, type of thing. Because I think people, when they watch the Confederations Cup, we're very much in the dark. You know, I watched the Confederations Cup and I kept an eye on social media and some of the stuff that was being said on social media from football pundits as well as, you know, the general football public was not what VAR was for, you know. So I think what MLS have done in the build-up to the launch of video replay was very good in that there was a, you know, a full media briefing. There was media days. There's been lots of stuff done on the website. Lots of stuff done with the players, coaches, and lots of stuff done with the fans. And I think that's a real, real positive because there's more of an understanding as to what it is. Now, you know, in terms of everybody being on the same page in terms of agreement and decision making, that's not there yet. Look, that's arguably never going to be there. But look, it's a work in progress. There will be some kind of growing pains with it. But coming from me, who's a traditionalist, I've changed my views in terms of technology over the last couple of years. But only if I believe that whatever the change is coming is to the benefit of the game. And I think this will be to the benefit of the game if it's used right. You know. So that's all I can say in it at the minute, and I'm quite sure that over the next year or two, it's coming in the Bundesliga this year, in the next couple of weeks, and also at Serie A. So Germany and Italy have adopted it, I'm quite sure over the next couple of weeks and months, it'll become a hot discussional topic when it comes to the role it's and the impact it's having in the game.
Alan, you've been more than generous with your time, so I'm just going to leave you with one final question. You've refereed cup finals, you've refereed international matches, you've even overseen a Champions League game involving the mighty Real Madrid. But what's been your greatest refereeing moment to date?
That's a tough question. There's lots of things I look back on. My first cup final in 2003, but my first schoolboy cup final back in 98 or 99 always sticks out there. The Champions League games at the Bernabeu and at Bayern Munich stand out as career games. Spain Argentina in a senior game in a senior friendly in Madrid stands out. The MLS Cup final last year. So I don't have one standout experience. There's lots of them there. I've been blessed really with some of the games I've been able to referee. Some of the places I've been able to see. Being able to take my family to different parts of the world, so football's given me a lot, So, look, I'm only hoping to give back to football for as long as I can.
Alan, it's been an absolute. My voice is still gone from beating Sligo Rovers on Saturday night, but Alan,
I saw that. Yeah,
an absolute pleasure speaking to you, and we want to wish you safe travel back to the US and continued success in the MLS.
Thanks very much, and continue to success to you guys with the podcast as well. It's really good listening.
Thanks very much, Alan. Means a lot. Cheers.
Take care.
So that was our roundup of the weekend's FAI Cup results from round one. John, you've picked. We're not going to go through all of the fixtures. We won't go into detail on them because obviously we'll be talking about them on next week's show. But you've picked out four ties from round two. Round two. Or I'm getting confused here. Round two in the cup, John.
Yeah, I have. Well, certainly the first one, a big Dublin derby, Shells against Rovers.
Yeah, the big question there, and there's a lot of talk about it in the media at the moment. Owen Heary calling for the supporters to put their differences aside with the club and come out and get behind the Reds. It's a huge, huge Dublin derby. There'll be huge pressure on Stephen Bradley ahead of this one, John.
Massive, yeah, and it won't go down well if they lose to Shells, that's for sure.
No, certainly not, especially Shells are, they may be on an upturn in form, but they're certainly not the force they once were within Irish football, so it'd be a huge, I don't like to use the word embarrassment, but it would certainly be a huge slip up for Shamrock Rovers if they were to go out to their Dublin rivals.
Yeah, it could be trouble for Bradley if they lose to that one, but... Anyway, the other ties, we talked briefly about Bangor against Longford, but I always like to see a cup set as such. So I've three here picked out as our other three remaining junior sides. So with Bluebell against Cabo.
Yeah, it's a very interesting tie, that one. Cabinteely started out as a junior club. They've joined the League of Ireland.
Yeah.
Bluebell, we've mentioned, Keith Faghy's come in there. They've produced so many great players down the years. Not just for the League of Ireland but for the national team as well. Bluebell home advantage, it'd be interesting to see how the bookies mark this one up, John.
Yeah, that's almost too tight to call. I mean, Bluebell with a great win the previous round, so
same rules apply in this round. In round two there will be no replay, so yeah. we might see a lot of extra time played in this round of cup games
possible. You're looking at the draws, are there going to be any shocks? Could be Bangor, I hope not, but Bluebell against Cabo look to me like one. The other tough one that they've got, Cove Wanderers going to Drogheda. Now, I know Drogheda's not in the best of form, but convincing cup win, and they'd be expected to beat Cove Wanderers, wouldn't they?
Yeah, oh, they would most certainly, yeah. Evergreen, we said, a hugely respected junior side. I think they'd be probably higher in stature than Cove Wanderers. I know they've had some good junior cup runs in recent times, but this is a different kettle of fish, and with home advantage, you'd expect Drogheda to advance there.
You think so, yeah. And the one I'm really looking forward to, Crumlin against Dundalk.
Yeah, depending on the date, it hasn't been announced for that one. I'm hoping to maybe get to that one as well, as obviously Longford and Bangor. As we said, expect Dundalk to go through, but just it'll be great to see what kind of a fight Crumlin can pull up there.
Yeah, and it's well deserved from the victory against Wexford, isn't it? And
yeah.
You like to see clubs getting past and then getting the plum tie, they'll be really looking forward to that one.
So we're actually doing a bit of Facebook Live on the show this week, so anyone that's on our Facebook page at the moment will see that. But if you're listening to the podcast now, you can do it next week. Make sure you follow our Facebook page, Between the Stripes. But moving on now, we are going to look at the weekend's upcoming action in the Premier Division. John, you've picked out the upcoming fixtures for us.
I have, and we're going to start off with Cork against Sligo. It's got to be make or break time for Sligo. What a tough match for them.
Yeah, we've seen the huge disappointment from the Sligo players at the weekend, and their fans, just I've never seen Sligo fans so quiet during a game.
No.
There seems to be just a really bad atmosphere around the club at the moment. They almost seem like they've accepted their fate that they're going to be playing First Division football next season. And Cork City, amazing form this season. It's just hard to...
Serious job Gerard Little's got now, because, I mean, the fans look to have given up. The players almost look to have given up.
Yeah. The fans almost to a certain extent, I wouldn't say they've turned on Gerard Little, but they haven't ever seen, almost like Neil McDonald Limerick, they haven't seemed to warm to him at all since he's come in.
Yep.
And considering the results, and not just the results, the football on show isn't great either. It's easy to see why.
And Cork, not maybe as strong as they have been, but enough to see them off. Yeah.
Yeah, they had just a couple after the loss of Shawnee Maguire. They had a couple of games there where they just looked like they were really lacking them. But that cup win at the weekend should give them confidence. And as we've said, Kieran Sadler, he may be the man now to step into that role that Maguire left.
Yeah, and a big match for Galway, home to Rovers as well. So they're just showing a bit of an improvement in form, aren't they?
Well, we speak about momentum from cup results carrying into the league. How lucky are Galway that they came out on the right side of that penalty shootout against Kilester. We mentioned Shamrock Rovers maybe not the best performance against Glenville. So it's kind of a 50-50 game for me, this, John. Galway, they certainly... Well, Rovers need the points as well if they want to push on and challenge Derry for that third spot. But for Galway, it's really dire straits at the moment. 25 points, they're two behind Finn Harps, who have a game in hand as well. So if Harps were to win their next two, although that's unlikely considering their game in hand against Cork, then Galway, it could be curtains for them.
Well, Rovers will be looking at this and they'll be thinking this is a chance for third place, because Derry on Sunday have got Dundalk in a repeat of the cup match.
Yeah,
they won't want another bash.
If you were going to pick out the most disappointing performance of the week, well, performance wise actually, I have to say Derry did create quite a lot of chances, maybe didn't get the return on the scoreline for what their performance put in, but result wise it was probably one of the more disappointing ones. I think a lot of people thought that would be a much tighter affair than it was, but as we said, Dundalk were just in dazzling form at the weekend. And this is a huge test for Derry now, a huge test of their steel. And Shamrock Rovers will be favourites to beat Galway. So if they're to do that, the gap in the European race will be cut. So this is a huge, huge game
That'll be down to 2 points if that happens.
Great to see, John, isn't it? Obviously, the league title's gone, but the race for Europe is still on. And at the bottom, it's just great viewing.
It is. And, you know, this team's just been dragged in. I'm going to call them Freefall FC, Limerick on Saturday. They've got Bows. They're in dire straits, Kieran.
Yeah, excluding their last win in the Premier Division, which came against Drogheda on the 30th of June. Their last win prior to that was the 2nd of June, a 5-3 win over Bray Wanderers. As you said, it's absolute freefall at Limerick.
3 points off the drop. We were talking about them possible Europa League a month or two ago.
Crazy.
Yeah, unbelievably. He's having a bit of a nightmare there, Neil McDonald.
It's hard to see where the wins are going to come from at the moment for Limerick. The only thing I would point in their favour over maybe Sligo, five of Sligo's last seven games come away from home and they haven't won on the road all season.
Yeah.
So that might just be Limerick's saving grace, that maybe there's going to be three teams just below them that can't just find the way to get out of the situation.
Yeah.
Limerick are in absolute free fall, as you said. They need a result somewhere. Is it going to come this weekend against Bohemians? They were knocked out of the cup disappointingly at the weekend, but overall they look to be a much better side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Galway is in great form at the moment, so you know they're putting together some points, so you can easily see Limerick being dragged in. And that's 3 points is nothing.
I haven't pushed you for a prediction on any of the fixtures yet. I'm going to push you for a prediction on this one. Limerick Bows, call it now.
I can't see Limerick winning it at the moment. Away win for me.
Have to agree. Limerick's back four at the moment looks to be an absolute shambles. Let's call it a spade here.
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken so much on the show this season about Akinade and Corcoran. You'd imagine they'll have an absolute field day against this Limerick back four.
On fire again. So one team still hovering around the relegation zone. Finn Harps. They go to St Pat's. That's a big a 6-pointer.
Yeah. Harps will be on high after their win in the cup at the weekend. Pats are in great form. They had a cup win of their own.
They're not out of it yet though, are they? They're still...
No, looking at the table, they're still only 2 points, but their form has dramatically improved in recent weeks. Harps, it's amazing to think they're only on 27 points, because we've spoken so much about them having such a fantastic season.
Yeah.
But as I said just a few moments ago, they do have a game in hand on Monday night. So they'd be looking to take a couple of points here from the two fixtures. If they don't get anything, then it would be worrying.
It's not the easiest of Monday night fixtures, though, is it?
No, it's far from it.
They're playing Cork on Monday night, and that's live on RTE, isn't it?
Yeah, Cork en route to round up the title. So their next couple of fixtures come up live on television.
Okay.
And, you know, this is a huge game for Harps. It's just so hard to see what way it's going to go at the bottom at the moment.
Absolutely. The final match, Bray against poor old Drogheda.
Yeah, even with everything going on at Drogheda at the moment, you would expect Bray to still come out on top in this one. They were impressive in their cup game at the weekend. They have some pacey players against what has been a very sluggish looking Drogheda back four all season. So
yeah,
I'd have to go for Bray.
Yeah, and that just could propel them back, you know, within that shot of that third place. If Derry were to be beaten, that would leave them only 5 points off Derry.
Yeah.
So they're still in with a chance. So, Kieran, we're going to move on to the First Division fixtures for this weekend, and we're going to start off with top of the table, Waterford against UCD.
Yeah, so Waterford will be licking their wounds after a heavy cup defeat. UCD title is gone, but still fighting for second against Cove, who will be on also licking their wounds after a disappointing performance in the cup. You mentioned that Waterford rested a lot of players for the game against Shelburne, so they should be coming in fresh into this one. Home advantage, big crowd, Waterford en route to wrapping up the title. Can't see anything more than a comfortable Waterford win here.
No, I can't either. You're dead right. I mean, their focus is obviously on promotion this season.
Yeah.
They show that with the changes they made at the weekend. So, yeah, I think three more points and another big step towards winning the league for Waterford. We're going to talk about the second match I'm looking at is Shelburne against Cove. The only team really that can catch Waterford is Cove. And they've got a tricky one there at Shells.
Yeah, inconsistency has been an issue during this title run in for Cove, whereas Shelburne currently on an upturn in form. Small crowd probably turning out, as we spoke about the issues off the pitch with Shelburne. But Cove, they're probably used to that, I'd imagine. Their attendances have been totally killed off by the FAI's change in playoff policy this season. Tough game to call, I must say, John. I'd love to get your prediction on it.
Yeah, thanks for asking me that one, because it is very tough.
I shifted that nicely, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah. Look, I'll be honest, I was really impressed with Shelburne when we played them, and I think they'll beat Cove, and I think that will end the league as a contest.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup in styles, actually. As you said, Shelburne were very impressive when they played Longford. They got two excellent goals on the counter-attack after Longford went down to 10. And in the games Longford have played against Cove this year, Cove have caught Longford on the counter-attack so many times in the four games.
Yeah.
So two really good counter-attacking sides. It'll be interesting to see what way that one turns out.
Indeed. And the final game on Friday, Wexford host Cabinteely.
Yeah, so Wexford, another team licking their wounds after an absolute humiliation going out to a non-league team.
Mm.
Cabinteely on a high after a 3-1 win over UCD, and you'd imagine they'll continue that even though Wexford can be a tough place to go at times, but Cabinteely have been having a good solid season, and a result over Wexford would certainly add to that.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Cabinteely and the signings they're making.
Mm.
You know, they're bringing in some real good players. Swan, for instance.
Swan, McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Players like that, I don't think we'll see the benefits of them coming in this season, because it's too late in the season just to get a flow, get a groove going. If they can hang on to those players, the biggest challenge obviously will be hanging on to Marty Waters.
If they
can hang on to all of those players, I'd imagine they'll keep maybe Jason Byrne in around the club in some capacity.
Yeah.
So they keep that experience around. Dara Doyle is there, a great experience at the back. You have Victor Nkanem, and you have the young and very impressive centre-back of Conor Keeley alongside him. So there's a real nice blend around that squad, around that club at the moment. If they can keep that all together, then they could have a really, really good season next season. And with the playoffs, it'll be interesting to see how the crowds would improve there.
I don't think they're far off a promotion charge next season, the way they're building this year.
I suppose the big question is going to be how many playoff positions will be available. There's talk that there could be, obviously, first we go up as champions. But
well, even automatic promotion, Kieran. I think they're really...
I think they're just a little bit far, obviously, as well, with the calibre of teams that are going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
You could have some full-time outfits coming down now. The question will be, if they come down, will they maintain that full-time status? But I agree that they're not far away from you know, a playoff position if there was playoff in the league this season as such. But I think they're just slightly... Their goal is to get up within the next 3 to 5 years. So
yeah.
So they're going to continue working towards that. No mistake about it, Cabo or a club on the rise. Just hopefully attendance to start picking up there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I'm putting it on record. I think they'll challenge next season, Kieran. And yeah, they'll beat Wexford on Friday. Then Saturday. We can't wait, Kieran.
It's Derby Day.
It's El Clasico.
So, John, a 2-2 draw last time the teams met in Athlone, but Longford have really had the upper hand in this tie or in this fixture this season, both in league and cup competitions. Can you see it going any other way on Saturday night?
Well, I can't wait, Kieran, to be honest, because it's the return of Roddy, it's the return of Ender Curran,
Stephen Walsh, Entande and Colo.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many local connections in that team, and you know, if we get the atmosphere right again, same as against Sligo.
Yeah, I know Section O they've put another event together, hoping to turn out in force again on Saturday, which is great to see. It really does add such a huge difference. You walk into the City Colin Stadium and there's a buzz around the place again. It's fantastic. And Neil Fenn and the players have spoken about that, and they're calling on the supporters, not just the Section O lads, but everyone, to come out and get involved. And you'd love to see Longford build some real momentum now ahead of that cup tie against Bangor.
Yeah, I'm just hoping there's a decent attendance out. It's a good game, and Longford continue the way they're playing, and you know, it's another 90 minutes for Davy O'Sullivan towards his fitness race.
He certainly knows how to find the net against Athlone. Am I right in saying 2 hat-tricks this season against Athlone? I most certainly am, yeah.
2 hat-tricks, yes.
2 hat-tricks. Ender Curran, though, he's on the wrong side of the divide now, so
we'll forget that one. Rub that one out.
That one was a bit controversial anyway, not as good as Sully's hat-tricks.
No, definitely not.
So give us a prediction, John.
Longford win.
Perfect. So, John, that was it. That was episode 10. Have to say a huge thanks again to everyone who supported us on this journey so far. A lot of people wrote us off, didn't think we'd get this far, but it's been fantastic.
Yep, I remember somebody saying, is anybody going to listen to this? And we've surpassed all expectations. And look, we've really enjoyed producing the show, and we're delighted with such good feedback, and we're delighted you're all enjoying listening to it.
Yeah, certainly the first couple of shows, we know ourselves we had a couple of teething issues. You know, the sound quality mightn't have been the best, especially with our guests over the phone line, but we've certainly rectified that, and each and every week our guests just get bigger and bigger names. It was a pleasure to speak to Alan Kelly this week. Also, big thanks to Neil Fenn, always willing to put his hand out and offer us any help at all we can with the podcast, and a lot of people at Longford Town have to say the same. Gary Cronin, there are lots of other people behind the scenes always willing to help us out, so it's fantastic. But again, couldn't do this without our listeners, so huge thanks. Also, just want to mention a huge thanks to everyone who got involved with our fantasy football competition. Of course, we were given 33% of proceeds there to the Attic Youth House in Longford Town, and we're delighted to say we raised €200 for the guys there, way beyond what we expected, and I'm sure that money will be put to good use.
Absolutely, yeah. So thanks again for listening in, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, so as always, folks, like, listen, share, do the lot, get the name out there between the stripes, and we'll see you next week for episode 11. Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Click the follow button on Mixcloud now and never miss an episode. Want something featured on next week's show or to react to this episode? If so, follow and contact us on Twitter at Between Stripes. Or alternatively, find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, for all the latest news and updates, check out our website, www.betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.